Bless the Lord. Happy Mother's Day to all of you wonderful mothers that are here, and to those who are not here who will perhaps see this later on, this video. Aren't we glad that our moms loved having us and brought us into the world and loved us from the moment we were conceived, loved us after they gave birth to us, loved us throughout our lives? I mean to tell you, what joy it is to think back on all the things that our mothers have done and are still doing, those that are alive and remain with us. It's amazing. My mother made a decision to keep me. She was in the throes of aborting me 81, 82 years ago, and decided against it. Isn't that great? Yeah. Praise God. How do I know this? She told me. It's not one of those things that you often look forward to hearing, but it came about in an interesting way. I'm not going to get into all the details of that, but do you know moms make serious decisions when they know that they're pregnant with a child? Their whole life is going to change. Everything about them is going to change. They are no longer their own in some ways. They are living to keep a fetus alive and to bring it to full maturity, to have it come forward at a time of both joy and pain when they give birth to the child. And, oh, what joy when the baby comes. Hallelujah. So we give thanks to God for motherhood, for moms throughout the world, for our moms in particular. For the moms that are still alive and those who have passed on to glory, we give you thanks, God, for what you put in them, for what they mean to us, and what has happened as a result of us being alive today. Look at how things have continued to grow and manifest with more and more children and more glory to you. It's amazing. So we rejoice on this day that we give thanks to you for moms. I have a word for you that came to me this week. I was studying other things, and all of a sudden, God spoke to me, and he said, I am the God of infinite solutions. Isn't that great to hear? I'm the God of infinite solutions. And so the title of this teaching this morning could be The God of Infinite Solutions and the Faith of a Mother. So I want to read from 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to read the whole chapter because the whole chapter is meaningful here. We'll break up the screen to help you follow along. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except by my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. She didn't know that yet. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her, and he said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called out to her and said, oh, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And so she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of your flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord says, rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I done with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring sin to remembrance and kill my son?" I need to give you a little parenthetic thought here. She was afraid that the consequences of her sin were going to bring destruction to her son, her previous sins. And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "Oh, Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy to this widow, this with whom I lodge, by killing her son?" You have to understand the language of the time. He was saying, "I know you have not brought this to her." You follow that? And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "Oh, Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to the mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." There's a lot of stuff here to unpack, and I will try to highlight several points for us today. And I think if you read this scripture over on your own, you'll probably get more. Most likely you will. The Holy Spirit will share things with you that are very personal and important to you. Number one, here's a man of God, Elijah, doing the will of God. And God told him to speak out and shut up the heavens so that there would be no rain. And he told him, "Say it by your word that there will not be any rain for 3 days, 3 years, excuse me, until I speak again." So in obedience, Elijah did that. Now here's the thing that happened to him. He became a victim of his obedience. There are times when God will have us do things that cost us. Elijah must have known at the moment that he was about to say there won't be any more rain for 3 years, that a drought was going to come to the land, there would not be any food, there would be a famine, and he would be involved in the experience. And yet, knowing that, he did it. There is a cost of obedience. There are times when there are things that God is going to ask us to do that we cannot see the full outcome of them because he doesn't want us to see the full outcome. He only wants us to obey. That's all he wants. If Elijah had stopped and said, "Wait a minute, what are you going to do about me? How am I going to get through this thing?" He didn't ask that question. He just obeyed. And then God did the next thing. I want you to understand. Right now, in the time that we are living, you are facing trials, issues, situations due to the economy. The cost of living is rising every week. I do the shopping in our household. I know what's going on. It's costing more every week to fill your tanks, to buy groceries, and then also to pay your utilities, which are going up all the time. Everything is increasing. There are pressures all around us. People are frustrated. People are fearful. We're not sure what's going on. We feel uncertain in many, many ways. There are threats coming. I don't want to get off into a tangent yet about what God is going to do with this nation and how God is going to provoke us to be responsible to turn things around. Because right now the church has not been as relevant as it's supposed to be. In fact, it is almost irrelevant because its lack of understanding where we are, its failure to engage with God over what's going on, and to commit itself to do what God wants it to do. There are many things that the church is going to repent of because God is going to use us, but he will not use us until we come around to agree with him. We have been asleep at the wheel overall, and with the exception of a few people, not addressing the things that we should be addressing. There is a fear. There is also selfishness. And I could say more, but I think you realize this. But today, God in his love for us wants to comfort us. He first wants to comfort us and tell us everything is going to be okay. I'm going to take care of you. I have solutions, infinite solutions for you. Infinite solutions. Right now, all you see is what you see in front of you as material solutions. And God is saying, I have infinite solutions. Infinite solutions for your situation. I want you not to fear. And if I can erase the fear from you, as the Lord is saying today, I will then be able to use you because fearful people are not usable people. Do you hear me? When you're afraid for yourself, you're not going to engage in other things that God wants you to take care of. Now, Elijah was a soul man. He was a man who said, God first. I'll do whatever you want, regardless of the consequence. But God is a God of infinite solutions. He knew how to take care of Elijah, first and foremost. So he says to Elijah after the word of Elijah that there would be no rain, he said, then he spoke to him and God spoke to Elijah and said to him, okay, here's what I have for you, a solution. I want you to go to the brook Cherith and I want you to stay there and I am going to have you drink from that clean water. And I'm going to send ravens 2 times a day. Once in the morning, they will bring you meat, and they will bring you food. There are two things that the ravens... Listen to me. He sent these ravens out to get good meat. Who knows what kind? A little fish sometimes? Maybe some beef? Some lamb? Perhaps some chicken? And bread. Meat and bread. And some fruit. I mean, he wanted them to have a well-balanced diet, right? And a few vegetables. And he brought all those to Elijah. Elijah ate there for a long time. And God had these ravens doing it. Incredible, infinite solutions that our imaginations can't even muster up. What God is able to do for us if we'll trust him and obey. And this is a time in the life, your life and mine, when we need to trust and obey. Simple as that. Can you imagine that? Actually, probably had some of the food cooked for them in advance. Who knows? Who knows? And then, what happens? After a while, you know, Elijah's like us. He's thinking, wow, this is a good deal. I'm sitting here by this brook. Getting fed twice a day. And after a while, the brook starts to dry up. There's no water, and the ravens aren't coming. Do you know God is going to do that to us sometimes? After he has showed us one thing that he can do for us, he wants to show the next thing. And he doesn't want us to get complacent. He has plans that expand way beyond our limited thinking. Elijah had no idea that he was going to have to go to a widow for help. Who would think of that? Right? Yeah. So there he was. So in verse 8, he says, I want you to go to Zarephath And there's a woman there, a widow, and I have commanded her there. God was speaking to her. She didn't know what to expect completely, but all of a sudden, this prophet shows up. There she is, gathering a few sticks, going to make a little fire. She's got a little meal, flour, and some olive oil, and she's going to make a cake and bake it, give it to her son and her. They're going to eat it, and that's it. But Elijah interrupts her little plans, and he invades her little schedule and her little purposes, and he says, I want you to get me some water first. Now, that woman could have said, wait a minute. We need water, too. No, she obeyed. She went and got him some water. She wasn't going to think just of herself. And then he says to her with a little cake, a little meal that she has, a little olive oil, he said, I want you to bake me a cake first. What would happen if the woman said, bake you a cake? I have enough for us. That's it. When she agreed to bake the cake, what happened to the oil that she had and the meal that she had? Well, the oil kept filling up in her little jar, and the meal kept being replenished. And on and on and on, she, and it says her whole household, ate. We don't know how many people there were, but there were more than two, more than three, and they enjoyed this wonderful experience. Can you imagine that? Let's say you went to the cupboard and you pulled out a couple of cans of soup and this and that, and you went and made a meal, and then the next day you went back and opened the cupboard, and there were more cans. That's what's happening to her. Like the refrigerator would never get emptied. It's amazing. And so this little woman now, not only Elijah was living in the incredible infinite solutions for his life, now this little woman and her son and her household were living in their infinite solutions of God. They were all benefiting. Why? Because this little mother had faith. She agreed. She agreed with the word of God. Isn't that wonderful? How many times have our mothers done that for us? And how many times do you mothers do that, where you hear the word of God and you obey, and the consequences of it are phenomenal? So, going along a little bit more, we think everything is just going to be fine, and all of a sudden, in verse 17, it happened that after these things, the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him, which essentially means he had died. So the widow says to Elijah, what have I to do with you, man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? She felt guilty about her past life and that she was experiencing the consequences of her disobedience. But no, that's not the case. So Elijah said, give me your son. He took him, went upstairs into his upper room where he was, stretched the boy out on the bed, and then stretched himself out over the child. And then he cried out, O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. Then the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. So we have another miracle, another provision, another solution. The child died. Would he have died if Elijah was not there? Most certainly. It was all part of a plan that God had to show his incredible power to overcome not only sickness but death, and to raise this boy back. God has infinite solutions for you. I'm speaking to you today because if you're anything like me, all the stuff that's going on right now is challenging to us. If you drive down the street, you can see the numbers for the cost of gas change as you drive by. They're going up, aren't they, Luke? Diesel. I was in the grocery store the other day, and there are some muffins that I buy for Andrea that she likes. They're made by Dave's Bread. And about a year ago when I was started to buy these muffins, they were $4.49. They're $6.49. That's just one item. And so there are all kinds of mitigating things around this that are taking place. They're not all healthy, that's for sure. And so here we are. Are we different from the world, or are we just like the world? Are we to experience no help from God or help from God? Yeah. He's our only help, our only hope. He's a God of infinite solutions. Would you say that word? That word came to me while I'm just in my daily routines of searching God, studying the Word, praying, and all of a sudden He drops something on me and He says, I am the God of infinite solutions. Can you accept that for yourself right now? Can you say to Him, you are the God of infinite solutions to me, my God of infinite solutions? Amen. His economy. You're the God of infinite solutions. What is it going to take for us to experience the God of infinite solutions? It's going to take the same thing it took for Elijah and the widow. They heard the word, they yielded to the word, they obeyed the word. There's never been another solution to the solution. If you obey God, He can act. If you don't, He's helpless. Faith is everything. Faith is everything. Over the weeks, months, however long it takes, perhaps years, we don't know, that lie ahead of us, we are going to testify, you are, about the God of infinite solutions in your life. You're going to come here and you're going to say, this is what God has done for me, for us, for our family, for our work, for our school, for our food, for our gas, for whatever. You're going to be telling how your gas tanks never get empty, and things of that nature. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because we serve a God of infinite solutions. Never, ever, ever, ever limit Him, ever. And whatever He says to you, do it. Just like this widow, she said, now I know you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. When the word of the Lord comes to you, it is the truth. And the devil ain't gonna mess with you then. God's word to you is power. What He says He's gonna do, He's gonna do. He's not a man that He should lie, nor the son of man that He should repent. If He said it, He's going to do it. When He tells you something, let Him be God. I cannot get into your life and walk with you day in and day out so that I could be there with you and encourage you. So you're going to have to walk with the Holy Spirit and be sensitive to Him and listen to Him and obey. And perhaps it's through reading the Scriptures or praying or whoever knows, but praying in tongues. I want to tell you something. Praying in tongues releases so much. Like I was teaching you last week. Continue to do it to build yourself up. You're going to need it. I want to give you a little precursor. Some of the stuff that's happening right now, this morning, to the Catholic Church, where demonstrators are going, they're stepping on the Eucharist outside the church. You don't know about these things? Come on. Yeah, why? Because the justices, six of them, have Catholic backgrounds. So these people who are pro-abortion want to demonstrate against it. This is called persecution. There's harassment. Persecution is harassment. So these things are beginning to break out. Will they persist? How long will this go on? I don't know, but here's the thing. Persecution for the church always makes the church better. Hello? Why? Because it challenges you back to your faith. Always. It forces us back to our knees before God and His word to obey Him and to trust Him. That's where we're coming to. Oh, there's going to be a revival, friends. Because God loves the lost, and He wants to save. They don't know that yet, but His Spirit, the Spirit of conviction, remember we taught on this from John 16? The spirit of conviction who comes to convict the world of sin will be at work as we pray for these people. I tell you what, as bad as the things are that people do, the solution to that is prayer for them, that the Holy Spirit will come to them. Not to get angry with them, as much as anger might rise up in you, that's not the solution. Never is. Prayer is. Wanting the will of God for them. Yah, say yes. Do you believe God is a God of infinite solutions for you? Yes. I want you to with all my heart. Because he's going to show himself strong to you. Always, 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 always. This is the worst of times. It is the best of times. When our faith is challenged, when times like this press us, cause us to be concerned, even some fearful, God is with us to show us that he is always with us and always faithful. I can say more, but I think this is enough to chew on. You have a big day today. You're going to meet with your families. You're going to be with your moms. Your kids are going to come to you. We're going to have a great time together. And bless God for our moms. Oh, my gosh. My mom, you know, she's been gone for years, and I still have the fondest thoughts of her. And I know you think of your parents that way, but even those who are alive now, consider how you might today and as the days unfold throughout the rest of this year, be more sensitive to who your moms really are and what value they are to your life. Nobody can take the place of your mom. Nobody. Nobody's as good as your mom. Nobody. Your mom is wonderful. Love on her throughout the year. That's my advice to you. So with that, I'm going to close. And Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the truth of Elijah's life, the record of what he did with this widow. We thank you for this widow mother. She was alone. She'd lost her husband. Her provisions were limited. The man who had supplied for her was gone. She was now taking care of her household. And there she was. And yet she obeyed the word that came to her. She surrendered. And look what happened as a result. God, we thank you for her. We thank you for Elijah. We'll see them in glory. And we thank you for the teaching that you're giving us now, the revelation of who you are to us. Infinite, infinite, infinite solutions beyond our wildest dreams, beyond our imaginations. You can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that resides not just in us, but in you. And to you we give the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church.